Hello and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. This week we're considering the stiff debate between WESPAC, the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, which has asked President Trump to reconsider the restrictions on fishing in the Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument, and the environmental groups, which supported the regulations expanded last fall by the Obama administration. We heard from WESPAC yesterday. Today, Paul Achitoff of the national nonprofit environmental law firm Earth Justice joins us. Welcome to the program. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Beth Ann.
At its base, is this debate about whether the Marine National Monument is really a good idea? Is that really what we're talking about?
Well, I suppose from WESPAC's standpoint, they apparently believe it's not a good idea. So, that's their perspective. They're at the time of the decision to expand it, there was a great deal of material and evidence that had been generated demonstrating that it was a good idea. There was a substantial body of evidence put together in a report that was put together by leading scientists and included sign-on from 1,500 other scientists that described in detail the biological and cultural evidence for expanding Papahanaumokuakea. So, but from WESPAC's standpoint, if they can't do whatever they want, fish wherever they want, it's not a good idea. I disagree.
So then looking at the idea of why it needs to be protected in this way, which also seems to be part of the argument against it, how would you say that we all need to look at this if we were to look at it through your eyes?
The way that I look at it and the way that the scientists who have looked at it think is that we are talking about a unique resource that has an incredible array of both biological and cultural resources that need to be preserved. And commercial exploitation in that particular area is contrary to the larger public interest in having these resources preserved for future generations. We're talking about thousands of species, including many endangered species. I've worked for many years on trying to protect, for example, endangered sea turtles, albatross, monk seals, all of which are caught in the longline fishery. Sharks are another example. Looking at the logbook reports from the longline fishery from January to December 2014, I note that just in the EEZ, the exclusive economic zone out to which the monument was expanded last year, in that area, the longliners caught one blue shark for every two big eye that they caught. Now, if you think about that, that's a lot of bycatch of sharks to catch some big eye that can be caught somewhere else. Now, so from that perspective, there's other forms of commercial exploitation too. It's not just the longliners that are being kept out of that area. We're talking about deep sea mining, which is another potential threat to these resources. These areas need to be protected, and I think that there is a global awareness of this. This is not the only monument. It just happens to be a big one.
Are the monuments in general feeling a threat now that wasn't present even 6 months ago?
Well, certainly we have an administration that is extraordinarily anti-environmental in its ideology. And I think anything is possible from this administration in terms of trying to roll back protections that have been put in place previously, not simply by President Obama, but, the monument was actually designated by President George W. Bush. So it doesn't really matter who put these in place. I think we can see the Trump administration trying to roll back any and all protections as they have been, doing on an almost daily basis.
Paul, what about threats external to the Oval Office? Other groups may be challenging whether these Marine National Monuments should even exist.
There is a lawsuit that was filed recently by Pacific Legal Foundation, which is a conservative group that brings litigation to challenge the validity of the designation of a National Marine Monument off the East Coast. They're arguing that the Antiquities Act, which is the basis for designating national monuments, doesn't allow the designation of marine areas. Earth Justice will be intervening in that suit and making its arguments, and ultimately the judge will decide. But something like that has the potential to affect our monument as well.
Meanwhile, there is a lot of conversation still here about what happens with Papahānaumokuakea and whether there will be any intervention to allow greater fishing there. We heard from Westpac yesterday saying, look, these are pelagic fish. We have to go off, and they're going all over the place. They'll be coming through here. Why shouldn't we stay here? How do you answer them when they're talking about having to run after fish to be able to get their quota, which they seem to get earlier and earlier?
Well, I think you put your finger on it. They have no trouble reaching their quota. Last year, they met it, if I'm not mistaken, by July of 2016. That's an annual quota. So clearly, they can meet their quota. And when they met their quota last year, they simply bought up the quotas of Western Pacific Islands and used their quotas. So they have no trouble finding fish. And as they point out, those fish go all over the Pacific. Yes, they do. And in recent years, Westpac has been catching only about 5% of its catch. The longliners, I should say, have been catching only about 5% of their catch within the area that is now off limits as a result of the expansion. So all they need to do is continue fishing where they have found 95% of their catch previously.
The point that American fisheries are much more regulated and observed than are those from other nations is also a point that Westpac has been making in saying that, look, we're buying fish from other nations who sometimes come into our waters illegally, and we buy most of them from it. And if our guys were able to go out there and fish, well, we would be decreasing how much we're bringing in illegally. Does that hold any weight as far as you're concerned, that argument?
Well, first of all, I see no evidence that there's any meaningful amount of fish that's being imported from foreign fisheries that are fishing illegally, which I assume to mean fishing within the exclusive economic zone. If there is such fish, I think it's a very small amount. And I think in any event, it's really irrelevant because, as I pointed out, the longliners have a quota. They will meet their quota. And what the other fisheries do, therefore, really does not affect the longliners' ability to catch what our laws allow them to catch. This whole argument that foreign fisheries are somehow at an advantage is irrelevant if you take into account the fact that the longliners are going to be able to catch every fish that they're legally entitled to catch and sell it to whoever will buy it.
Should consumers know exactly where their fish comes from?
I think it's good for consumers to know where their food comes from, whether it's fish or any other kind of food, absolutely, for any number of reasons.
As now this has been touched off again because of the letter that was sent earlier this month in which Westpac is arguing that, well, Earth Justice was lobbying, and you say, no, it's not lobbying when you send a letter to the president. How would you answer them for that?
Earth Justice was lobbying or
Westpac?
Yeah.
That they were lobbying. In fact, that you have said that they were lobbying.
Right. Well, the issue of the extent to which or if Westpac is unlawfully – there's no question that they lobby. I mean, when you send a letter to the president, you're lobbying. But the question of whether it is unlawful lobbying, you know, Westpac has its arguments, and I'm just looking at the law I have in front of me, for example, 50 CFR 600.227, lobbying. This is a federal law. Council members, meaning Westpac, council members, employees, and contractors must comply with the requirements of 31 U.S.C. 1352 and Department of Commerce implementing regulations published at 15 CFR Part 28, quote, new restrictions on lobbying. These provisions generally prohibit the use of federal funds for lobbying the executive or legislative branches of the federal government in connection with the award meaning the receipt of federal funds, which is to say Westpac's budget. So, you know, Westpac has been saying, well, we're only lobbying the executive branch, and so these lobbying rules don't apply to us. That's not what I'm seeing in this law, you know, and there are others. You know, if I look at 2 CFR Part 230, Appendix B, Section 25D, I see a whole section that provides that costs incurred in attempting to improperly influence either directly or indirectly an employee or officer of the executive branch of the federal government to give consideration or to act regarding a sponsored agreement or a regulatory matter are unallowable.
So, Paul, I mean, having heard some of those things in your read of it, as with many things, we can read different things and see them differently. What will it take to get a definitive read on any of this, and where do we go from here? And we've got to be out in about 30 seconds.
Well, Earth Justice and a number of other groups signed on to a letter that was sent to our congressional delegation last week asking for an investigation into these types of practices, which have been going on for a long time. And we want an investigation of whether this is, in fact, lawful.
So we're going to wait and see if we get that investigation. I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Beth Ann.
Paul Achitoff is the managing attorney for the Mid-Pacific Office of Earth Justice. It's the local affiliate of the national nonprofit environmental law firm. Earth Justice opposes reversing the restrictions on commercial fishing within the Papahanaumokuakea National Marine Monument.